You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm Larissa McLemon, your host, and today is all about you, my listeners. So a while back, I asked a question in my group and Instagram, and probably even if you're on my email, you would have got an email from me too, all the places, about what you're struggling with in business, to see if I can help, because I actually get so much feedback from owners that listen to this podcast, and it helps them, how it helps them move forward in business. So that just really inspires me to do more of just that. So thank you to all of those that piped up and did just that, asked a question or gave me some feedback. So I wanted to focus this episode on exactly those questions and messages that I got. So first of all, Cody Rose, hi, thank you so much for messaging me on Instagram. I listen to your podcast weekly, sometimes daily, says Cody Rose. I love listening and can relate so much. I nod my head so many times, so many great things you touch base on. And yet sometimes when I walk in the door, I forget them all. I hear you, Cody Rose. I'm really trying not to wear all the hats, as you put it, but it's been a real struggle with letting go. I've taken Thursday off to work on growing my business, but feel stuck in exactly where to start. There are so many areas that need work. Well, Cody Rose, I'm here to give you a few tips. And it's my belief and opinion that it starts with you. You will always be the bottleneck inside of your business. And I think often we become that bottleneck because we lack the clarity, and lack of clarity delays progress in our business. Because of course we don't know where to start because we lack the clarity of where we're going. That's the first one. And also we lack clarity of the big picture of our business because we are so inside our own goldfish bowl. And so for us to have clear perspective on what it is that we need to do next or where it is that we are going, we need to hop outside of our own business, outside of our own goldfish bowl. And sometimes you need your wider community to help you with that, whether it's your team, whether it's a community of other salon owners, whether it's a coach or some kind of mastermind environment. You need some feedback from the outside so you can see how your business is perceived from the outside, not from the inside, because it's clouded when we're on the inside. We're so busy, we're deep in the woods. And we really need to get some clarity on what our client experience is like from their point of view. So we need to get outside of our goldfish bowl. And when we lack the clarity of where it is that we're going, it feels really cloudy about where it is that we need, what it is that we need to do next. So it stops us from taking time off the floor and to have business time, or what I call tiger time. Thanks, Amy Porterfield. I have taken that and run with that, which is business time that you invest on business growth, activity to grow your business, not just to grow your clientele, not just to do one client by the hour, but to actually project and move the needle, move your business forward. So why would you take the time off to do that if you don't know what it is that you're supposed to be doing? So I think sometimes you just have to go back to the start and look forward to where you're going. Like, what's the end goal here? Where are you going with your business? Get super clear whether it is that you had a vision to start with and you've just lost sight of that, or whether there needs to be a new future goal, you've got a new vision of where it is that you want to go, or if you actually have no idea where you're going with your business because it's not what it's cracked up to be. You know, you started and then you got a fright and thought, shit, this is really hard now. Then I encourage you to go and find some space, create some white space, give yourself some time. It's not one of those problems that you can sit down at the table, have a cup of coffee and plan the rest of your life. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you can't, and you have to give yourself some time and space. And if you don't have a week to go and lock yourself in a cabin in the woods, most of us don't, then you just need to give yourself some space over a little bit of a longer period of time. Now, I'm a thinker. When I do the dishes, when I take the dog for a walk, when I am putting my kids to bed, once they're tucked in, I stay downstairs with them until they go to sleep. And that's a good thinking time. It's quiet space that I can't do anything else. So when are you going to get some white space for you to just think through these challenges and think, where are you going? And I think that's what you need to, that's where you need to start. Get real clarity around where are you taking this business? What does the end goal look like? And then write it down. Write down, when will the business be finished? Now, it's a funny concept, when will the business be finished, because I don't believe it's ever finished until you sell it, I guess. But you need to put a line in the sand and say, this is where I'm going. How will I know I've got there? How will I know will I've got to my goal? What will it look like when I've got to that goal? How will I celebrate that goal? And write it down in tangible, measurable steps. Or you know, so you can wake up one day and say, I'm here. I've done it. And get real clarity around that. And then once you've got that, then it, sometimes it's easier to start with what the problems are, because now you'll have a wide gap between where you are today and where it is that you're going. And when you know where you're going, you'll be able to start to investigate what's blocking you from stepping forward towards that goal. Is it you? Is it your mindset? Are you holding yourself back? Is there fear that's seeped in so deeply? Do you even believe that you can do it? Do you even believe that you deserve success, or do you deserve that vision for the future? And sometimes I find that what blocks us is that we just can't imagine big enough to, you know, to find something that's big enough to inspire us to drive forward. And now, whether that's just lack of knowing of what's possible, or it's lack of belief that you can go there and you can make your business that big. But when you don't have this image that's big enough, then, you know, for me personally, if my goals are minuscule and to get to the end of the goal or to the finish line is not very far away, I start to get finish line-itis. I start to slow down because I'm not inspired to get going. It's kind of like the end of the road. And it's not until I reset big, hairy, audacious goals that I get back on the horse and start to gallop. So you need to have something that's big enough and inspiring enough to drive you forward. Once you know where you're going and you've got your big, hairy, audacious goal, then sometimes it can feel a little bit huge and overwhelming to eat that big elephant, like, oh my God, it's so big and it's so far away. But just be kind to yourself, break it down. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And the biggest thing that I see that gets in people's way is shiny object syndrome. You know, stop grabbing hold of shiny objects that, you know, that are twinkly and exciting and beautiful and fun to do if they're not clearly in your line, your clear line towards the finish line. Like if it's taking you off to the left and your finish line is on the right, say no. Learn to say no. And, you know, this is challenging for creative entrepreneurs for sure. I mean, one of the biggest ones I see is when there is opportunity to be, for example, to be a creative artist. Some third-party company and offers comes along and offers you an opportunity to be world famous on their platform, which is great. I was that person too at one point. But if you don't have a profitable business that's working without you, it's very hard to chase two gods, so to speak, to try and drive and build a profitable business and become world famous or Insta famous or on stage famous and be chasing two goals at one time. That splits you, because there's only 100% of you and there's only 100% of the time available in any given day, which is the same amount of hours as Beyonce. So you have to pick and choose what it is that you're going to do, because if there's, you know, if there's 50% to each one of those things, well, you're going to get 50% of the, if you give it 50% of the effort, you're going to only get 50% of the return. So I believe in this industry, for the hair and beauty industry, as a business owner, we must nail two fundamentals. There's actually five fundamentals, but out of those five, well, let's go what the five are. You must leverage clarity. You must have clarity. We just talked about that. You must manage or harness yourself. You must be able to create powerful profits because you're not. It's not a charity. You must be able to create a rock star team. You must be able to smash sales because you can't pay the rent otherwise, and you must be able to have clients on demand. So what two must you have to be able to grow a business? Well, you must have a team and you must have clients, right? Because without that, you're just a stylist or a therapist behind the chair and you're a one-man band. And that is a solopreneur. That's not an entrepreneur and it's not a business. It's a business owner, but it's not a leverageable growing business. So we must harness our team. We must learn this word leverage, because otherwise you're going to burn out, and you must obviously be able to create clients on demand. Otherwise you'll have no clients for your team to do. You'll be the one out the front. Now I know this because I was that person. You'll be the one out the front behind the chair while your team sit out the back on the phone, and it will drive you bonkers. So start with those two. And start with the one that you haven't nailed yet. Is it your team that's driving you nuts? Then go and learn to be a great manager. Do you have a great team, but they're sitting around and they don't have clients? Go and learn to be a marketer. These are two fundamental skills that you need to be a business owner in 2019 moving forward. All right. So I hope that helps, Cody Rose. Thank you so much for reaching out and asking your question. And Clarissa. Great name, by the way, from NBI Nails. Thank you so much for coming in and asking. So your first question was keeping it real, mum life and business life. How do you juggle the schedule and still get both the best of both worlds? Great question, Clarissa. One that's true to my heart and something that really drove me once, and I didn't expect once I became a parent. Once I became a mother and I realized that I could no longer be superwoman, and I wanted to be superwoman, it actually never occurred to me that I couldn't be, not from an ego point of view, but what do you mean I can't have a family and a business too? That was never a question for me. But I realized that I couldn't keep the pace of the business that I had and raise a family too, because they were both 100% time consuming. So something had to give, and I needed, it was a blessing really, because it's really how I learnt to do things smarter and not harder. So it's taken me years to refine this art of being a mum and, you know, always moving things and juggling things to make life more smooth, because otherwise it can get really stressful really fast, and life's too short to live in a stressful world. Like, we have one life, we get one body, we get one shot at this. Who knows what happens next? There's lots of speculation about what happens next, but at the moment, in the very present time, you have one life, one body, one chance. So we can't waste it being a stressed out maniac who's not present in your own life. And so that was me, and I decided I needed to do something about it. So some of the tactical things that helps me juggle the schedule. I mean, when I had my salon, I was constantly juggling my schedule to make it work around the resources that I had available to me, the family that were able to pick up and manage my children. I had a nanny, a training nanny. Thankfully, her mum was a nanny, and she was just fantastic. And she came into my home 2 days a week when my kids were little and I was commuting into the CBD to run the business. I mean, how lucky was I? But these days, I've worked my business, and I truly believe that you can do this. You can work your business around what you need or who you want to be first. Can you do it overnight? Well, no, probably not, depending on where you're coming from. But can you work towards a business that fits your needs? Stop fitting around your business. Like, your business will be whatever you make it. So you might as well make it something that fits your life and your dream and your vision, because it's nobody else's life, it's yours. So anyway, Clarissa, here are some tips about some of the things that I do or have done to keep sane in the juggle. Do I believe in work-life balance? I do, but I don't feel that it's without a juggle. There's balance, but, you know, like the tipping scales, it's constantly tethering, it's constantly moving, and your job is to keep balance, keep balance in the juggle. Okay, so one of the things I do is I do online shopping. I mean, it's a real super simple one. It took me a while to get into the rhythm. I actually had my food bag, and then we have another one called Bargain Box, and they deliver the food to you. Like, OMG, that saved my life for years. And now I've been in and out of that for years, depending on what's going on and what I can cope with, where I don't, you know, one of the things I need to do is minimize the decisions I make in a day. And one of the things that really stressed me out is, what the heck am I going to cook for my family? And the first 5 years, 6 years of being a parent, my husband cooked. I cooked for the kids and he cooked for us. So I didn't have to think about us. I just needed to think about kids' food. Kids' food's easy. It's finger food. And then when I sold the salon and I, quote unquote, moved home, I realized I had to cook something that would feed a builder. Like, he's hungry. And I wasn't used to doing that. And so I really needed to shake it up a little bit. And I was out of practice. So my food bag saved my life. It was one of the decisions I didn't have to make. I could just rock up to the kitchen and follow the instructions. It was a lifesaver. These days, though, we've given that away just recently, and I kind of got sick of actually having to eat what was given to me, and we started wanting to make our own choices. So I now do the online shopping on a Saturday. So it arrives, thankfully, they have Sunday delivery. It arrives Sunday night. So Monday morning, so actually we have Sunday night dinner planned. Monday morning, I can wake up, there's food for the kids' lunches, and I probably have 7 to 10 meals that I just rotate. Now, some people might go, that is so boring, but you know what? It is so easy. Like, I know what my kids eat. I know there's imbalance of greens, and for me, not having too many carbohydrates for me, like meat and carbohydrate, does not work for my stomach. So I know what works. I know, and I just rotate. I just look at my little list of my notes on my phone and say, oh, which meal should we have today? Right, nachos is on the menu this week, fish is on the menu, and away we go. Less decisions. I'm getting more and more like that with the clothes that I choose to buy. Like, I know the style and the shape that works for me. I don't get distracted by shiny objects. Well, I do it less often, and I've got a couple of different combinations, and then I have it in multiple colors and choices. I've even got several pairs of the same jeans that I love, because then I don't have to decide which ones do I feel if I have a fat day or not have a fat day. I don't have to think about it. I just grab them because I know they're comfortable and they fit me and they look good, and away we go. Cutting down the decisions. I have so many decisions to make. I actually remember saying to my business assistant, Nicola, she asked me a question. This was still early on when we were getting to know each other to work together, and I was still teaching her the job. And she asked me something relatively mundane, and I said, Nicola, I'm out of decisions today. I can't answer you. Do you know, as a business owner, we make so many decisions, and it's exhausting. It chews up a lot of brain power. And so I try and cut down as many decisions as I possibly can in my personal life, so I'm free to make many decisions in my business life. And when my team ask me things that they could actually answer themselves, I say, do you know what? I'm going to leave that decision to you because you're the marketing manager. I'm going to leave that decision to you because you're the business manager, or whatever it is that they are, their role that they are. And I don't need to make that decision. I trust you. Okay, it takes a while to get to that point, but once you've got the right team on, then you don't answer for them. Because once you answer them, it's like feeding a monkey or feeding a dog that comes at dinner time. Once you give them the food once, they keep coming back. That might not have been a good analogy, but if you get what I mean, right? Okay. How else do I make things juggle? Trying not to do it all yourself. Like, I used to try to be superwoman, not because I had an ego that needed to be superwoman. I didn't know how to ask for help. And so I say, use your community around you. Do you know, use the people around you to pick up your kids when you can't, do vice versa when you can. My dad picks up my kids ever since my first child was 3 months old. He has picked up my children on a Tuesday afternoon and taken them out for an adventure. That gives me an extra couple of hours at work. And actually, at the moment, just started in 2019, once a month on a Tuesday afternoon when my dad has my kids, I go and do some self-care. I've had my basically been to the beauty therapist. because I'd missed doing that while I was in the early stages of building. So now I've put in a couple of 2.5 years of hard work, and now I'm starting to give myself a little bit of payback time, just as I can buy it. Okay, what else? Get yourself ready first in the morning and then serve your kids. Like, get yourself done. For me, I need to get myself done. I'm sorted, and then I can switch over to my kids. Now, in the days when I commuted and I had to wear my beautiful clothes in the salon, I would just put my dressing gown over top of my clothes, because inevitably the kids would puke, or they would throw some food, or God knows, toothpaste would drop on my outfit, and that would stress me out. These days, I worry about that less because I work from home, but I still get myself ready first. And when I'm ready to face the day. I can face the dramas of the children. And you know what? Since I've done that, there's less drama in the morning. And the times that I don't do that, I always feel a little bit out of sorts. So get yourself ready first. Sleep, rest, white space. Like, get enough sleep. I know that sounds really obvious, and sometimes it's hard to do that. But when I don't get sleep, I'm slightly cranky and a maniac. That's normal human behavior. So this is just a reminder, get enough sleep if you want to show up in the world for your family and for your business. Because if you're a half-rested maniac, then you are no good to anybody. Create white space. Now, what is white space? That's space for you to unwind. It's like when a computer has too many tabs open and the motor starts to whir, that means you've got too many tabs open and you need to shut some down. White space does that. I have a cleaner that comes in and helps me keep on top of the house, but sometimes I need to be the cleaner because it just gives me white space. I'm an active relaxer. I can't just sit there and stare into space literally, although I do love a good movie. That's my white space sometimes. Do you know, think about completely go into a different world. But unless you have white space and have some downtime, then again, you're no good to anybody. Fill your cup first. Too much wine and coffee for me is not a good combo. If I have two coffees in the morning and then in the evening have two wines at night, one or two wines, I'm a mess. So I now take approach of it's either wine or coffee. So on a Friday, if I know I'm having a wine after work, I don't have a coffee in the morning or have a cup of tea. Know what works and what doesn't work for you, and then have the discipline to follow that through. All right, Clarissa, I hope that helps. You also asked a day in the life of Larissa. So you have some insights already, I feel, with answering that other question around balance. But I thought I'd just throw a few other things in since you asked, what does a normal day look like for me? Now, typically, a couple of days a week, I get up at 5:30 in the morning to get the shit done that needs to be done. And when you're growing a business, you need to put in the extra hours. And a non-negotiable for me is that I pick up my kids at 3:00. I want to be the mum, apart from the Tuesday when my dad picks them up, I want to be the mum that picks them up. I want to be there. And even if I come back and do an hour of work after school before I cook dinner, I'm home with them. Somebody's in the house with them. They're not at after school care. My kids have spent plenty of time in after school care. Don't you worry about that. But that's my choice that I primarily make. And to offset that, I have phases or periods of time where I choose to get up in the morning. That works for me. I'm not in that phase at the moment. I'm not getting up at all at 5:30 in the morning. I get up at a normal time, 7:30 in the morning. My husband very kindly takes the kids to school. He does it on the way because he's leaving the house and I don't. I'm in my office by 8:30, 9:00 with a coffee, and I'm ready to go. And I check in with my team. We all kind of say hi in the morning, and we use a program called Slack. It's a program that we can talk remotely online, and we connect about what we're doing today, what's on the agenda, who's doing what. So that's kind of my personal business combo. And I finish at 3:00. I smash through my day from 9 till 3 so I can go and pick up those kids. And periodically I'll do an evening, not if I'm doing a morning. I'm either one or the other. I can't do both, otherwise that wrecks me. We've got a couple of webinars and a couple of live classes that I do in the evening. So a couple of times a month I work an evening and I work late. I am a soccer mum. Yep, on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, depending on the season. This morning we were up at 7, out of the house at, half past 7. We were at the soccer pitch at 8 o'clock, and we were all done by half past 9 this morning. It was freezing. Now, I live in Wellington. Wellington, New Zealand, is known for this time of year, the wind and the rain. So I've got the biggest, puffiest, longest jacket in the world, thankfully. Had my hat on. So I am a soccer mum on the sidelines. And my other son, he does parkour and scootering, and so I'm often on the side of a trampoline park or a scooter park. That is kind of my mum life as well. So because I work from home and I am behind a computer, I'm talking with people all around the world all day long, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's on Slack, whether it's on Messenger, but I don't see a lot of real humans. The busier I am in my business, the less I get out. And the majority of the people I work with are in all sorts of places around the world, not in my local hometown. So that's been an interesting dynamic for me to get used to. And so my current focus is to get out more, literally, like get out the door and really reconnecting with a lot of my social connections. And so this is my focus at the moment. You know, once a week, roughly, I'm out with a girlfriend or my parents or whoever it is that I can make some social connection. And that's my, you know, I designed the life to work around my family and to work from home. I wanted that. But, you know, there is a consequence, and I just have to manage that, keeping my relationships with real humans that I can touch and sit next to, not just through a screen. So, Clarissa, thank you so much for asking for that little insight into my daily life. All right. Well, look, thank you. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much for reaching out and asking those questions to both of you. And if you are listening and have a question that you want answered, then please, by all means, you can find me on Messenger, you can find me on Instagram. But please come and join me at the Salon Owners Collective group on Facebook, where I am there regularly every week, and you're welcome to ask a question that I can answer here on the podcast. So thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to chatting to you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.